Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to That Stupid Fantasy Football Show. I am Tim, here today with Adam.
What's up, Adam?
Hello.
What's up?
Nothing. Just started watching this Saints Cowboys game.
Yeah, it should have been introduced as a tonight and not a today. Because this we're doing this at night. It's a Thursday night.
You're already messing up. first thing out of your mouth was just complete lies.
Just complete bullshit.
Yeah.
Well, we are here. It's the third quarter, 13-7 at the moment. Or ATM as the kids say.
ATM.
And pretty competitive game so far, so it's enjoyable to watch. We were just doing a little card talk right before we started rolling. I told Adam that I bought a new Trevor Lawrence rookie card for like $750 raw and, might submit it to SGC for a grade. I feel like that's an easy win if it's a nine, if it grades at a 9 or a 10,
yeah.
To profit on it.
We just lost everybody. Everybody's gone.
And then, you know, you were talking about his fantasy value because, you know, these things are tied together to some degree, especially when you're talking like a short term flip, like what I would be doing with Trevor Lawrence.
Well, I think you would actually probably have to hang on to that card for till at least next year to get like maximum value out of it.
You're probably right. That's a great point. And something I was thinking about, but was hoping I could just flip it immediately. And I think you're right. Probably wait till September. And, you know, that's like $150 card, probably, assuming that's a 10. If it's a 9, maybe it's like a $80 card, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think, like we were talking about, I think it just depends on what the Jags do in the draft. Like if they can get like a top flight wide receiver, or, you know, get some a little bit more O-line help, you know, then maybe you're looking at a guy who could have a real breakout season next year. I think all the talent's there, and, you know, I think the potential is great. And I think he's a guy that, you know, I don't think any of these rookies outside of Mac Jones, and even Mac Jones hasn't been like outstanding. The team just has been very good.
Yeah.
But all these rookie quarterbacks, I would say pretty disappointing first year in terms of fantasy, in terms of like value in the card market, in terms of real life football.
Yeah.
Nobody's broke out. I mean, Mac Jones is your closest guy to get there.
His card value is through the roof at the moment.
Yeah, because, I mean, they're winning. they're good. I mean, because that's part of the card market too, is the actual team that they're playing for. If they're doing well, like if they go to the playoffs, his value, even if he's not playing like statistically, like fantasy wise well.
Right.
But yeah, I think a lot of people, I mean, you look at this class, this QB class, and you're like, whoa, there's a lot of guys that could be studs. And we kind of knew like Trey Lance probably wouldn't be starting right away or even starting all this year. Or, Dalton got injured right away. So who knows when Fields would have started playing. And Lawrence hasn't been great in Jacksonville.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to get at, right? So I really love Lawrence's potential and all the rookie quarterbacks' potential.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's like been like, oh my God, this guy is going to be bad. Except for maybe Zach Wilson. He could maybe not be good at all.
But I will say, last year, it only took a few games or maybe even one or two to see what the league was in store for with Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
You know, and that, I mean, pretty small sample size, especially on Burrow's part. And you kind of knew, you were like, okay, yeah, no, this guy's definitely going to lead a franchise.
In fairness, those guys like Burrow had T. Higgins, he had Tyler Boyd, he had Joe Mixon. He has a really good offensive line in San Diego. He has, Herbert has Mike Williams and Keenan Allen, and last year had Hunter Henry. I think the weapons there. I mean, who does Fields have on Chicago right now? I mean, Allen Robinson's been banged up. Mooney's been okay. Trey Lance hasn't been playing. Good. Yeah, Mooney's been good.
Cole Kmet's been interesting. You're welcome. At this point. Yeah, right, exactly. Mooney.
You're welcome. Good
call on Mooney.
And I think the more Fields plays, the better he is too. I think they're going to let Robinson walk after this year because he's a franchise tag.
He's obviously been a zero this year, Allen Robinson.
Yeah, yeah. And then Mac Jones, like he's had some good games, but like his weapons aren't great, just a great system. And he does have two really good pass catching tight ends. Like I think the system's set up for him to succeed or at least win. And then Trevor Lawrence, he has like, who does he have? He has DJ Chark.
Yeah, he had DJ Chark.
Yeah,
DJ
he's Chark gone. Got hurt. He's been injured.
Marvin Jones? Marvin Jones is one. Jamal Agnew, LaVisca Chenault.
Who hasn't really been, like, they expected him to break out, but.
Yeah, he hasn't done much. That's been, he has been disappointing. You're right. And really, I haven't watched much Lawrence, so I guess part of my bringing this up is like asking you as someone watched a little bit.
Yeah.
Has he even made throws that?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You can see the talent. You can see it. Oh yeah. Oh,
the numbers are just not there. It's so strange.
Well, there's no one to throw to there. Yeah. And they also lost ETN.
Yep, Travis ETN. He'll be back next year. So yeah, they definitely
get him back. They have more of a 1-2 punch. They maybe get upgrade their offensive line a little bit. Get
is a that a big problem receiver. There?
I think you can always upgrade offensive line
for sure.
I think maybe they just get upgrade on one side, like one tackle or something like that. But like,
yeah.
They need a legit number one wide receiver. I think that will make guys like Chenault a little bit better too.
Okay. We'll put a pin in this conversation until next year. Cause I would say the verdict is still out on him. And unlike where it really was with Burrow and Herbert.
Yeah.
I mean, he hasn't even had like a game where he's thrown like four touchdowns and looked like awesome. You know what I mean? Just taking over the game. Like they suck.
Yeah, it's a team thing. And I think, I mean, from what it seems like, Urban Meyer might be gone after this year. He might be one and done.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people are blaming him. Like maybe that was a bad hire. Mm. He wasn't ready for, he's just not an NFL coach.
Yeah.
Maybe they come in. I just don't know who's going to go there to make that like a better offensive team. Like, I don't know what coach, Matt Nagy.
I'm sure there'll be, people available when the time comes, like Josh McDaniels or someone like that could even be a potential candidate. And even Urban Meyer said it, the ability to have your pick at quarterback was so valuable to him. And so as any like younger offensive mind being brought in for a couple of years, at least that would be really appealing, you know, having Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, I think a lot. I think it'll be a place people want to go. It just depends on the type of money the franchise is willing to spend. You know, I think that's part of it too. Mm-hmm. But they spent a lot on Urban Meyer and he seems to stink.
Yeah. Now you made a trade in the league this week. Tell us about this trade.
So I was, I've kept Christian McCaffrey ever since his rookie year. These last 2 years have obviously been very disappointing and I'm just a little concerned about him. I know you've said it. And I think part of it was like, you thought that. And I think the other part of it was to get under my skin.
It was all true. I mean,
it's not looking good. And like they did draft Chuba Hubbard, mm-hmm. And he looked pretty good when he played. And they brought in Amir Abdullah to kind of do the same thing. And their quarterback situation seemed bad. Like Cam Newton looked bad. Mm-hmm. Walker came in, looked bad. Darnold hasn't looked good. Maybe this coach is not good. I don't know what's going on. They looked really good at times.
No, I think the coach is good. Cam is up and down. Darnold was a little bit earlier.
Like these guys are just making bad decisions. But anyway, I just kind of looked at it and thought, I don't know what I can get for him. You know, like maybe in the offseason, I would be able to get a fifth round pick or something like that. And I also didn't know if I wanted to keep him again. It's 2 years in a row. I've lost him and I've had I'm more in like not having him and then just drafting his backup in like the 10th or 12th round.
Yeah.
But it's just been very frustrating. And I just decided if I want to win this year, I need to go out and get another top tier running back or a top tier wide receiver. And, you know, everyone kind of like our deadline was this, what, Wednesday?
I don't know.
Something like the first. Yes. The first Wednesday. Yeah. And I just was asking everybody and most people still felt like they weren't sellers. And there was like a couple teams I really didn't want anything from. And I just basically went to Fantasy Girl and was just like, what do you want for Mahomes? And I think she wanted, I think Hurts with some picks might've got there or Hurts and McCaffrey or something like that might've got there. But if I'm doing this to win, I couldn't get rid of Hurts because Hurts is my best quarterback this year so far.
Yeah.
So I wanted to pair Hurts with like Mahomes. Just couldn't be done. So I'm like, what about Cordell Patterson? Like, I don't think Ridley's coming back. Their second, you know, teams are double teaming Pitts. Like Cordell Patterson's, and he just ran for over 100 yards. So I was like, well, what about Cordell Patterson for a seventh round pick? And she's like, no, fifth. I'm like, I don't know. What about sixth? And she's like, no, fifth. I'm like, and then she came back and was like, well, what about, because she initially tried to trade me Rob Patterson and Julio Jones for McCaffrey, and I didn't take it. So then she goes, what about my or Kirshner's fifth and Cordell Patterson and Julio Jones? And I was like, what, do you want Julio Jones? But then I'm thinking, I think Julio Jones is coming back after the bye. AJ Brown is out at least 3 more weeks.
Get put on IR.
And it might be more. Yeah, it might be more. I know Julio Jones hasn't done anything this year.
Yeah.
But I think without Henry and without AJ Brown, I think like he's been rested. He's been out like what, 4 or 5 weeks with the bye. It's a flyer. He might suck and I can drop him. But Cordell Patterson, I think, puts me right back into the conversation of being competitive in the league and potentially trying to win a championship this year. And plus, I got an extra fifth rounder. So now I have 2 fifth rounders and I'm away from a guy that's been pretty much only played like a handful of games for 2 years in a row. And he might come back and be great, but I couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah. And you drafted him as a rookie.
Yeah. So I got a good year. I won a championship, even not with him. He was injured last
right.
year.
Yeah. I mean, that was impressive. That was impressive.
Yeah.
What more can you ask for?
Mike Davis was big. And then I'm hoping I have Chuba Hubbard. So
yeah, it's got to be frustrating to have not gotten really much out of him in the past two seasons.
Yeah.
And him as a keeper, you know.
Well, now I got something for him and potentially, and, you know, maybe, you know, if I win another championship this year, that trade's just massive. Because I'm not winning a championship without a guy like Cordell Patterson, I don't think.
Now, what are the chances that McCaffrey ever returns to the 30-touch guy, you know, 30
I don't think he'll ever – I don't think he'll ever
point.
I think the 30-point fantasy is possible there. Mm-hmm. I don't think he'll ever return to 30 touches again. They can't – after these last 2 years. Because it's not just one injury. It's not a nagging injury. It's a bunch of different things.
Yeah.
So maybe the wear and tear has gotten to him because he's a smaller guy.
Yeah. That was my case on him. My take on him when he came into the league, but it just took 5 years to play out.
Yeah. It took 5 years of just getting hit constantly.
Yeah. I mean,
he's been great. Squeezed everything out of him. He's made me competitive. He got me to the playoffs a lot of years when maybe I shouldn't have, or like a couple of years maybe. And, you know, I won a championship with him.
Yeah.
But one of the big things was getting Mike Davis early and getting him as a handcuff.
Yeah. Last year. Yeah. Let me give my take on his value. Like, I think you definitely got out at the right time. You know, he's going in the wrong direction.
Yeah,
I don't think he'll ever get back to 30 points a game consistently.
I mean,
30 touches
again. When he played this year, he looked great. I mean, he was still very valuable. I think it'll be interesting. I think the team saw the writing on the wall in terms of the team not being able to be competitive.
Yeah,
and decide let this guy get some extra rest, get all healed up, and hopefully we'll get a quarterback in the draft, or we'll sign a quarterback in free agency or something like that, and we can try this again. I think next year, if he gets injured again, I would say, you know, he's just like not even a keeper anymore. He's not even a guy you can draft too early because you know he's going to be hurt. I wish him well.
He's a great player. He's a great player.
And he's really fun to watch. He's really fun to watch.
Yeah. In those games where he is starting and has a great role, that'll be fun. But my take is more about his workload going forward. As we're kind of talking about, like, I don't think anyone's going to give him 30 touches again.
No.
And I think that means he's not going to score 30 points a game consistently.
I think in PPR leagues, he's a guy that can. Not consistently. Yeah. He's going to be hovering more in like the low 20s, which is still very, very good.
Yeah. I mean, if they're smart, it's going to be more like 17.
No, I'm talking about fantasy points.
Okay. Well, yeah. Touch
low 20s.
Workload. Yeah. I think you're right with that then. Workload, I would say, 20. Like, treat him like Kamara last year or the year before. Yeah. You know, let him catch, you know, throw him the ball 10 times in the game. Don't shy away from that. Give him the ball 10 times a game too.
Yeah. And another reason it was easy to get rid of him is I have Jonathan Taylor.
Yes. Yes. Beast mode. The new beast.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah, he's a great player.
He is. And they seem to really know what to do and how to use him. Although I was losing my mind last week. Because Frank Reich does this thing at the like end of quarters and stuff where he just puts Nyheim Hines out there. And I get Nyheim Hines is a really great third down back. And I get that he's a good blocker, but man, put your best player on the fucking field. And they keep losing games because of it.
Leave him alone. You son of a bitch.
Leave who alone? Frank Reich?
Nyheim Hines. Nyheim Hines is awesome.
He's a good player. He's not Jonathan Taylor. Yeah.
And leave Reich alone too for that, because what are you not going to put him out there if you got this great player?
Not
going
to put Hines out there? Yeah. You don't have to put Hines out there. You want to put your best. He is the best player on that football team right now.
Well, look what just happened.
How do you take him out?
Like how many carries, how many touches are you going to give this guy in a game?
You could take some touches away from him on maybe the second drive. You have him out there ending a quarter to try to score to win a game. You know, like at the end of the quarter, you put him out there.
Yeah.
You know, I get you're running a hurry up offense, but run it with him. He's so good.
Yeah. Hines is good in the hurry up too. I mean, they have a package for him. Like, leave the play.
I just don't get the not putting him out there at all. I get maybe mixing them up with Hines in that moment, but putting them both out there, but not putting your best player on the field. And the announcers were saying the same thing. They're like, how is Jonathan Taylor just standing on the sidelines? He's your best player.
Oh man. Speaking of best players, we caught this show during the game, and Ezekiel Elliott is not having a great game. He's only got 14 rushing yards. But I will say I was all ready to go on a vicious rant about how, the way people are talking about Elliott these days, and Pollard. Oh, Pollard seems like he's better than him. He just seems more explosive, more burst. Elliot looks old and slow, and they should give him a rest. He's hurt. And it's like, this is the exact same thing that happened last year with the Cowboys backfield. I don't know if you remember that. It's a goddamn replay.
Vaguely.
It's a goddamn replay. Yeah, Elliott was dealing with lingering issues, and Pollard was playing a little bit more, and he looked good. But
I like CeeDee Lamb a lot,
right? And the Cowboys refused to rest Elliott while he was dinged up.
Yeah,
they just played him, and gave him a little bit of a lessened workload. So we're seeing the same thing happen now. He's being ineffective. And then the fantasy conversation is, can you even start Ezekiel Elliott? And the answer is, I don't know. Like, yeah. I think it's really tough, actually.
I started him this week.
Yeah.
Because I have Daryl Henderson in that league too. Mm-hmm. And then I was just like, I don't know if he's going to play. And I just, like, we were talking about, like, making sure you have your positions filled. Yeah. Like, I didn't want to have to resort to something else. Oh yeah.
Yeah, I played him too.
I mean, and the Saints have a good rushing defense.
They do.
Like one of the best in the league in terms of fantasy.
And Elliott's gotten run tonight. You know, he's gotten some carries and everything.
A couple catches.
But the reason the Cowboys don't play fucking Tony Pollard more is because he's not as good as Ezekiel Elliott as Tony Pollard busts a long run.
I don't disagree that
that was epic timing. Wow.
About the whole,
you just shushed
like
me.
Resting. Oh wow. I'm thinking about like a couple seconds behind you. Oh my god. Oh my god. Touchdown. Oh my god.
He gives the shush. He shushed me.
He shushed you. He shushed you. Wouldn't that have been funny if he mouthed Tim Pillary and then went
epic moment. Oh my
god. I'm glad we got that on the air.
That's amazing.
He Let's did look good that. On it. He broke two tackles and then just charged through the last guy to get the touchdown.
Amazing balance.
Make sure we got that. Get the fuck out of here.
Two minutes from now, that take never would have happened.
Oh my god.
I was going to say the reason that Pollard busts long runs is because he's the worst talent on the field. And, that great run, 65-yard run aside, I still think that's true. Like, the defense is very focused on CeeDee Lamb. The aforementioned CeeDee Lamb.
I do think Tony Pollard is talented. I think
he's not bad. Better, he's definitely good.
I think he's one of the better backups in the league.
Yeah.
I don't think he's better than Ezekiel Elliott. I think there needs to be some stock taken, and maybe Ezekiel Elliott doesn't need to play in this game. I know they need the game, but like Pollard just had that massive run. Like, I think if Pollard starts this game, they still win.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's overall better for fantasy player or fantasy owners of Ezekiel Elliott, because then he gets a day off, especially then he would have like, because they didn't play since last Thursday, so they have all that extra time off. Like, I don't think it's a bad call. And I guess from what I read, it was Jerry Jones saying, no, he's playing.
Yeah, he did it in the press conference or in the, on a phone, radio interview or something like
and,
that.
And he knows too. Ezekiel Elliott's one of the best players on their team, but if he's banged up, then he's not.
Yeah, I mean, so what are they going to do though? Like, they're going to
just start Tony Pollard for one game. They start Tony Pollard for this game. Ezekiel Elliott doesn't play. They still win this game. And I believe that they still win this game with Tony Pollard starting this game tonight. And Ezekiel Elliott has all that extra time off.
Yeah, I would think he's healing as he goes. You know, obviously he can get re-injured, but they're taking a risk in a game mid-season, you know, so they must know it's not a huge risk. And it definitely gives them a much better chance to win, even if he plays in a 15-touch role.
Yeah.
Like he plays in tonight, you know.
Or 10.
Yeah, 10 even, you know, because the alternative is what you call up some jabroni from the practice squad and it's Pollard and some jabroni, you know, leading the backfield. And that's just not dynamic, you know.
You're really, really cold on Tony Pollard. I think Tony Pollard.
No, I'm actually not. I do. I think he's good. But I'm saying
you can vamp on that. I got to get a beer.
You go from two good running backs to one and you're going to have a huge difference there. It's just not not comparable. So the Cowboys want to win the game. The division is at stake now that it's a game. The Cowboys haven't won recently. They need to win. And the Cowboys have some rest after this. This is a Thursday night game. So they play again at Washington next Sunday. And we'll see what happens.
Oh, you're talking about the Dallas' schedule?
Well, I'm just saying, yeah, they got 10 days off now because they're playing here on the Thursday. So, I mean, maybe that was baked into their
maybe
strategy.
Oh, my God. Taysom Hill needs to stop.
Taysom Hill just jumped over somebody.
Yeah. And it was like bounced off a defender.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So you mentioned Darrell Henderson. So thoughts on him? He hasn't practiced all week, even though the Rams are saying he's going to play.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I do have in that league. I'm pretty deep, so I'm not too worried because I have him in my flex.
Because
I also have Joe Mixon in that league. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling pretty good about that league. I've been playing really well the last couple of weeks. I feel like everything's kind of coming together.
Yeah, Mixon's been great.
Yeah, yeah, he's really, really good. And yeah, and I have Diggs, I have Godwin, I have Stafford and Burrow, I have Renfro, I have
so wait a second. There's a Hunter Renfro baseball player too, right? We've covered this on the show before,
yes,
right?
We have. Yeah.
How weird is that? Is that the weirdest thing?
I don't know if it's the weirdest thing. They're spelled differently though.
The Renfro. That's right. Okay.
The Renfro is spelled differently.
Okay. My dog is walking around the kitchen floor here. It sounds like she's got high heels on or something.
Yeah. She's a fancy woman.
Clacking away.
I think going back to that, what do you think about Cordell Patterson? Like, I don't even know if I'd keep him because it's like maybe a one-year wonder thing, but he's like become that whole offense there.
Yeah, I know. And that's why I would say he's like probably little chance that he's, you know, you're going to get what you want out of him if you keep him or if anyone keeps him. Yeah. I don't see him being a top four round value next year.
Yeah.
But I mean, he could be like, he could be like a fifth or sixth round value or something like that.
He's been playing really, really well. It's been crazy. Yeah,
I just can't imagine Atlanta doesn't address the running back situation. Obviously this wasn't really the plan going into the season that Cordarrelle Patterson is your entire offense.
Yeah.
He's literally accounted for 100% of their yards this season. And that number actually is not 100, but it's absolutely ridiculous. I don't know what it is. I heard it recently. I think it's
It's crazy.
Like 90% or something like that.
And he looks good out there. Like he looks like It's crazy. So like I was, I'm excited. I'm excited to have him with Jonathan Taylor. I think the team is back into a little bit better shape. We'll see.
Yeah, they could dial him back in a more efficient offense, and he scores just as many fantasy points. You know,
and maybe with more like touchdowns.
10 less touches. Yeah. You know, so yeah, he's still a possibility. You know, people have done it. Been keeper worthy with 10 or 12 touches, you know, they have to be really dynamic. And Patterson is, if he's used in a way that he's like the Falcons are using him this year. I mean, holy shit.
They seem to figure it out.
Deep balls. Yeah. It's nuts.
I love it.
For the stretch run, I love it. I thought about going after Patterson for the stretch run too. But I didn't do it. I didn't make any offer or anything like that.
But you got a good deal with,
good on you,
AJ Dillon for a seventh rounder. That's a good deal.
Yeah, AJ Dillon. Got him before. I think I've had him for two games now, and he's on bye this week. But right when Jones went down, I really like him, and I also have this Green Bay stack going with Rodgers and Adams, and now Dillon.
It's a good stack, but it's a good if they have a bad game in the playoffs.
This is a good topic of conversation because I think this strategy is becoming a little more common in fantasy football.
Hey, I'm stacking. I'm always stacking.
Me too. I'm double stacking. I got
That's a good team to double stack. I don't know if I want to double stack with the Eagles because I got Hurts and Devonta. And then I have Waller and Renfro.
Right.
And I had DJ Moore and McCaffrey, but I'll have DJ Moore and Hubbard.
Well, you had a great stack going when you had Cam Newton starting for the Panthers, McCaffrey and DJ Moore. That's
which I can have I can have that triple stack with Hubbard and if Cam's starting. I don't know. Like I'm like really scared to start Cam. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Although they are playing the Falcons. I'm hoping that matchup next week is just a massive shootout. My team would go crazy. Now I have Cordell Patterson, and he's like a double stack on his own.
Right. I've also got Stafford and Cooper Kupp. So that's my second half of that double stack. And I have Sony Michel sitting on the bench. So if Darrell Henderson is out this week, he is going to be getting the starting lineup, which is an exciting thought. Which I could have the unprecedented two triple stacks in a game or a playoff game, which begs the question, like, when do you pull back on a potential stack, especially if you're facing do or die in the playoffs?
Yeah, it's tough with a triple stack because if you're that team, like, I mean, that's what happened to me last week.
Triple stack.
I had DJ Moore, McCaffrey, and Cam.
Yeah.
And they DJ Moore had a decent week, but they, you know, McCaffrey went down and Cam was awful and got pulled. So like just killed me.
Yeah. Well, I could have the double triple stack.
And then my other double stack was awful too with Hurts and Smith.
Well, I mean, I would say look at the matchups. I think that's the answer here ultimately. And what's a good matchup? Well, that Taysom depends.
Got pwned.
It really depends what a good matchup is, and things change. They change by the week with injuries, with
that's the thing.
Coaches getting fired, all sorts of crap.
You can't really get a read on some of these matchups. They're like, oh, this team has a good defense, and all of a sudden they just show up that week. I feel like in the past, like if a team has a bad defense by this week, you kind of know it. Like this season has just been so wacky. It's just like, what? Like the Jags were playing awful. Like just awful and just giving up so many points. And then they play the Bills and holding 6 points. Like, how could you even guess that?
Yeah, I think it's the kind of thing. And I think it was Colin Cowherd who said this recently, but it's like there's really only like six or seven good teams in the league, teams that can win it. And there's like five really, really bad teams. But every other team is just right in that middle, and any one of those could win any versus any one of the others, you know. Well, I think that's kind of true for sure.
Yeah. I mean, some of these bad teams are beating good teams. Like, I mean, Tennessee has lost to two really bad teams, and they're a good team.
The Jets, they would definitely be in that bottom five.
And the Jags beat Buffalo.
Yeah. It's just changes. I think it fluctuates week to week who the worst teams are. Yeah. You know, like 1 week, you know, Pittsburgh is the worst team in the league, you know, and then they're winning another week, you know, and Ben is like, oh, okay, he's got some juice left.
They're so weird. So weird. Yeah. I really regret drafting Big Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Really, yeah, regret he's washed. That. I wish I would have got Derek Carr instead.
You love Derek Carr.
I do. He's solid. Did
you had the option to draft Carr there?
No, not there. The round before, I was thinking about it, and I didn't do it because I saw him and Big Ben there. I was like, okay, I think I can wait. And then Carr got drafted, so I took Big Ben. Mm. And although he's scored double digits in every game, fantasy-wise, he's still been very frustrating and hasn't had a big, really big game. But yeah. I did draft him as my number two quarterback, so there is that.
Yeah, Deontay Johnson's been great on the Steelers.
Yeah, he's been good. Freiermuth continues to play well.
Yep. I sold my my green Freiermuth prism draft picks.
I bet you really love to look at that one.
You know what? It was beautiful to look at, but it's gone now. Oh, there's my dog making a vomiting sound in the kitchen here.
So, lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah, I don't know if I can do the double triple stack. As appealing as it sounds. I'm really interested in it. I have to say, because if it hits, it's like epic. And there's a little bit of safety in it.
I mean, there are two of the better offensive teams in the league. I would say Green Bay is probably one of the best when they're all healthy. And I think, you know, obviously the Rams are a really good offensive team, and it's just like, that's pretty solid to have, like, you know.
Yeah,
but it just, all it takes is 1 week for either one or two of those teams to just have bad weeks, and then you're just cooked,
right?
There's no digging out of it.
Yeah, so championship week is week 17 in our league, and then week 16 is the semifinals. So for the Packers, they're home, which is nice. They play Cleveland in week 16 and Minnesota in week 17. I feel like those are safe to roll out the triple stack there of Rodgers, Adams, and Dillon.
Yeah.
In those matchups, even if Aaron Jones is healthy.
I think it doesn't matter who they're playing. I think you want to play all three of those guys. Unless like Jones is healthy, then maybe Dillon is a maybe on that.
We can hope for some bad weather too, maybe like some snow.
Yeah. But Rodgers still had some like really great throwing days in the snow. Like, I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be all run.
Oh, no. Actually, the pass works really well in the snow. Yeah. It's the wind that holds back the passing game.
For sure.
I
don't think it's a bad strategy. I just, there is that fear, like, you know, all it takes is a really bad game by one of those teams, and then you're really on the edge. And then if the other team doesn't have a really good game, then you're really could be completely fucked.
But so that's what I was talking about with like the safety, in a sense, where you know, you have three guys in the case of, say, Rodgers, Dillon, and Adams, you know, and you're hoping for what 60 plus points out of the three of them.
Yeah,
you know, about you know, and however that comes about is fine with you. Even if one of them got hurt, you could still hit that.
Yeah,
you know, which is kind of cool if you look at it that way. You know, and there's a really good chance that they blast over that, you know, if they have a good matchup.
Yeah.
Now the Rams, on the other hand, they're at Minnesota in week 16, same matchup, and the Rams are at Baltimore in week 17.
Baltimore has really been a weird defense this year. They've had some games where they really shut some decent teams down. And they've also had some games where they've just been like, just gashed. So yeah. it's really hard to say. I mean, once again, like we were talking about earlier, it's hard to say with these defenses, like week in and week out. Like there's some defenses that have been pretty consistent. Like I've been pretty lucky with the Cardinals defense. They've been like really pretty consistent. But like, yeah, there's no, you know, like Baltimore was there and like the Bears have had some years with like really dominant defenses that score a lot. I mean, Buffalo this year has been good defense wise, but there's no elite defense, you know? And like, there are weeks where certain teams are very elite. And I think the teams with playmakers have the more ability to do that. And just defense, overall better players. But yeah, there's no elite defenses like there used to be.
It gets really hard to predict later in the season.
But I do feel because of that, there's a lot of like decent flyers on the waiver wire each week.
There are. You just got to know which ones to get. And even if you think you have the right one, you might be wrong. You might have, you know, passed the right one on, and the right one's still sitting there on the wire. Because that's kind of the just the nature of that. But yeah, there's definitely good bargains on the wire. I usually play that kind of roulette with defense. I will say, I think it's killed me in a championship game or two, maybe in the past 5 years. But the alternative, I don't think, is any better. I think you're basically at that point anyway, even if you draft a defense in the 10th round. You know what I mean?
I think you can look at schedules, like strength of schedules for some of the defenses going in the playoffs and go, okay, these guys are good or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like, I picked up the Cardinals pretty early. They had a couple pretty good games in the first couple of weeks. So I picked them up. I liked who was on their team. And J.J. Watt did go down, but he wasn't like a huge part of their defense. Yeah, they've just been super solid. Like, I think they have a pretty decent schedule. They don't have anybody that I'm really scared of. So I think I'm just going to ride with them. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like that's a safer strategy instead of gambling on these teams that have had some, you know, big negative, you know, weeks or like some weeks where they just like gave up a ton of points. Like, so far, knock on wood, the Cardinals haven't had a game like that. I mean, they've had a couple of games, I think, where they had like zero fantasy points, but I'll take that out of a defense. Like, at least it's not negative.
Even the good ones have a negative pretty much at least one per season.
Phoenix, I don't think Phoenix has had one this year, which
Phoenix. I love how you used Phoenix and then you called the Chargers San Diego, even though you live in Los Angeles.
I call them San Diego.
You called the Arizona Cardinals the Phoenix Cardinals. That's like, what, you go back like 15 years or something there. I don't know, a decade at least.
No, by more. Yeah, Phoenix Cardinals. Oh my Phoenix. God. I think that's because like when I go to Arizona, I fly into Phoenix.
Yeah.
I guess.
Well, with the defenses, obviously you want a team that's home if you can get that, but it really is the difference between choosing and trying to call your shot maybe a few weeks out with this, but choosing at what you think is a good defense versus like kind of a regular team, average team having good matchups, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I really think it depends on the matchup. And I really think you want to look at defenses that get sacks. I think that's a way to know a disruptive defense, you know, a team that's trying to get at it.
For sure.
So that, I think that's a good activity line to look at.
For sure.
And
like, if they're playing like a bad offense or just an offense as like a backup quarterback, that always helps too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I've got the Dolphins defense. I picked them up maybe 3 weeks.
They've been playing really well. The Dolphins defense.
Yeah, they really have. And they've got a great matchup this week now against Mike Glennon, starting quarterback for the New York Giants. Oof. So that's now the second.
But
time
watch they score like 35 points next week. That's just how this season's been going. I swear, like Mike Glennon goes off. You know, that's
how this season's been going. I might have to bet a prop though on like Mike Glennon interceptions just to really like, I think he's going to throw at least a pick six.
That'd be great.
Yeah. And then, but then the Finns have the Jets, which is, as we talked about,
hard to tell. They had that game. I remember the Bengals defense was picked up. I was outbid and then it was traded. The Bengals defense the week they were playing the Jets when was it Mike White's first start?
Yeah.
Mike White's first start, and he went off. Absolutely off. Like, I think the Bengals defense had negative 4 points. I was like, I'm so glad I avoided that.
So the Jets have had Zach Wilson, Mike White, Josh Johnson, I think, started
Joe,
the game.
Joe Flacco.
So at least four quarterbacks starting for them this year already. It's pretty ugly there.
They scored 21 last week and won.
But yeah, that's the thing. I think they also give up a lot of points quickly. And so that's so
like garbage time stuff. Yeah.
A lot of it's garbage time. Yeah. So they do put up points.
It's just like, it's not a safe thing. Yeah.
It's not a safe thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I had the Eagles defense, and they were playing because I had to pick up because the Cardinals were on a bye, and I kept the Cardinals, and they play the Bears against Andy Dalton. I think they're going to have a good week.
Dalton's pretty good as far as guy, I guess, a ball control guy. At this point in his career,
they're going to get after him. I think they're going to get after him. I think he's going to be terrible.
Yeah. Definitely possible. You watch the Bears a lot more closely than I do.
I have no faith in that team.
Yeah.
They just scored 16. I know they won, but they scored 16 against the Lions. Come on. Get out of here. Get the fuck out of here.
Well, the Lions tied the mighty Steelers.
They're bad too. It's just a weird season. I'm glad I'm not a sports bettor, because I would be like pulling my hair out right now.
I started throwing my hat back into the ring last week.
Yikes.
I did. I had a great week, actually.
Oh, nice. Congratulations. You should just stop now.
I thought about it and just
spend it on cards or something.
Okay. It would make you feel better. I honestly thought about pulling it out.
You will definitely lose it this week. I just guarantee it.
That's already impossible. I'll tell you why. I put in 50, so like Sunday morning or something like that, this is it for the season. Last thing I'm going to put in. I want to keep it going though. You know, I want to win. I want to get some easy wins on the board, so I have more in the kitty to bet. And so I ended up doubling it even a little bit more on Sunday with a prop on Carson Wentz, which was just like basically having a normal game. For him, like an average game for him with completions, 2 passing touchdowns, maybe like 10 rushing yards or something like that, and yardage. So 4 passing yards, so 4 things. And you know, you parlay that, throw $10 on it, it's like $50 or something like that. Yeah. So that was pretty good. You know, and then they were doing like a odds booster on Rodgers and Stafford parlay, 250 passing yards. Both of them had to hit 250, and they both did. Mm-hmm. So that was a good one. I think I might have put 20 on that because that seemed like a slam dunk.
Nice.
So, you know, and I missed a couple. I missed like a teaser I tried. The games are very hard. I'm probably not going to try that this week. I did do a prop on there was an odds booster on Elliott. On Ezekiel
Stan.
Elliott.
On Stan. Ezekiel Stan.
And I see that he's at 26 rushing yards right here with 9 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And he needs 14 more rushing yards to get me this win, which would be about $20. So hopefully he can pull that off. And for our fantasy teams. But I also bet on Prescott. And I think Dak really just needs a second touchdown. For that prop to hit. So it's fun. And then I bet on the Packers to win the Super Bowl. And I bet on, I think, the Cowboys to win the Super Bowl, just a few bucks on the Cowboys, maybe 10 on the Packers, or maybe 15 or something on the Packers. I did this 2 years ago. I started kind of throwing a few bucks here and there on the Chiefs, about a month out. And then I just went all in that week, Super Bowl week, because I had like $500 already riding on it. And I was just like, okay, here we go. All in on the Chiefs for that game. So that was great. That was my best gambling moment ever, I think. But
your best gambling moment ever. I've hit some parlays in Vegas that have been really fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like $20, $40 bets and winning like $500-$600 on them.
Yeah, that's nice. And
it's like
party with it.
Oh yeah. Like I remember one time I got into Vegas. I went to the, I like the Westgate. I feel like they have the best sports book and they usually have like a little bit better odds than right on the strip. But their sports book is massive. And I just put in like a baseball parlay. I just like looked at who was pitching and what I knew because I do fantasy baseball and just like picked three dogs, picked them as a parlay, all money line. And yeah, it was like 20 or 40 to win like $500-$600. So I didn't even watch. Usually I'll watch the games, like drink and like just chill. But I was like going to a concert that night. So like I like went, had some drinks, went to the concert. And then while I was at the concert, I like was like, oh, I should see if I hit this parlay. I was like really drunk. I just like looked at my phone. I was like, holy shit, I hit it. And then like the two people I was talking to, I was like, what do you want to drink? I just hit a parlay. Nice. Let's go. Yeah.
Let's go.
It was great. It was great. That's always a good feeling. I've hit some like smaller parlays, but I think that was the biggest parlay I ever hit. But yeah, yeah. 20, 40 bucks to win a couple hundred. Mm. I love those odds. Like you're not losing much. And like a lot of times it's fun because then if you're at a sports book, you can just like sit down. If you're a sports book where there's like room and everything. Like you can just sit down, chill, have some drinks, watch the games, which is a lot of fun. And that's one of my favorite things. Like I don't at all gamble like at all in Vegas outside of sports betting. And even that, it's not a lot, but like, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is.
A parlay. There's nothing fun. There's nothing more fun than hitting a parlay.
Yeah. I mean, I do feel
in gambling, there's way more fun things than that, but in gambling.
Yeah, I do feel like this is the time where I feel like I'm ready to make some of these prop bets. And I'm not so sure I'm going to win either of these tonight.
What's your prop bet?
These two, I have Zeke needs 11 more rushing yards tonight. But Dak just threw an interception. And Prescott basically just needs another touchdown pass, which doesn't look like that's going to happen. So. He's only got one tonight. Doesn't look like I'm going to hit either of those. So maybe I'm completely wrong and I should have pulled this money out, but you know, either way, I'm going to put it.
What did I tell you to do? Not bet it. Yeah.
Well, either way, I'm going to put it on teams to win. And I think I made a bet on Brady to win passing yards. And really his only competition now is Derek Carr. If they can all stay healthy. But I will say Antonio Brown's recent suspension definitely puts a hit on that bet that I just made on Tom Brady. Like part of that bet was like, okay, Brown's coming back like next week or something. This is going to be great. But Antonio Brown was hit with a 3-game suspension for,
I just saw that.
What an asshole. My God, this guy.
He's what do they call that? Like mercurial, you know, they call like guys like that, like, well, they're just kind of like an enigma.
Yeah.
Like, you know, guys like him, Dennis Rodman, like,
yeah, you know, that's just, him for sure.
Yeah. They're just like really weird, but like, there's like a legend about them. And like, usually like in sports, they're usually like really good players.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like these guys are really good. Like, I mean, Dennis Rodman was really, really good. Mm-hmm. He's crazy. Like, and Ron Artest is another one. Really, really good.
This is true.
Really, really good.
Complete player. Specialist.
But like, I've had like issues with, you know, doing the wrong thing, but nothing like terrible.
Nothing except like going into the crowd.
Well, that's bad. That's bad. But I'm just saying, he didn't kill anybody. Like, I mean, like he didn't.
Like Marvin Harrison.
Yeah, exactly. But he's not mercurial. He's a murderer. or Ray Lewis or Rod Crew. No, but like these guys, they're like interesting personalities, definitely out there, can definitely be hard to contain, but like always seem to be around like legends that make them thrive, like Ron Artest with Kobe, Rodman with Jordan, and Oh wow, is that fumble?
Yeah, Cowboys got the ball back.
Oh boy.
This is great. Might hit these props.
Might hit them after all.
Let's hit them both on this drive.
But and like Antonio Brown, like Tom Brady,
yeah,
Big Ben, you know, right. Like these guys are like top flight Hall of Famers that, you know, get these guys to perform their best.
Yeah. I think you might be onto something with that. And yeah, there's almost like a genius quality to this person. Absolutely. Who's like the specialist, like Absolutely. This, yeah, the Antonio Brown type. I just listened to the book, It's Better to Be Feared by Seth Wickersham about the Patriots dynasty. And it's about Brady and Belichick and Kraft and the whole thing. And they got to a part where Antonio Brown was living in Tom Brady's place in
I remember hearing about Florida. That.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean it is nuts. Like by the way, that book, the audiobook that I listened to was it was so interesting. I loved every second of it. The Deflategate, Spygate, they go real deep into Kraft and the massage parlor, nice. Trump thing. They go that, and I mean that was absolutely fascinating to hear how much Trump actually affected their team. Was definitely not expected. But, and then you hear how just like crazy Brady is about what he does and, yeah. How he, obviously believed in Antonio Brown's talent.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for yeah, sure. And I think, a lot of times like those superstars like that can see through all the bullshit.
Yeah.
And see like what these players are and say like, I can get the most out of you. Or like, I believe in you. I don't think, like you should probably still be in Pittsburgh right now. You know, yeah. Like, I don't know why you're here, but you're available and I thought we should have you. And it's right. Just like, obviously he's got, I think Antonio Brown the most out of any of them seems to be the guy that just can't necessarily turn it around. I mean, Rodman's definitely had some issues, but like Antonio Brown is just like a little bit more reckless, I think. And a little bit more crazy, like definitely has some like mental health issues that he needs to get dealt with.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which it seems like at least Ron Artest definitely has. Like Ron Artest like seems like a normal dude now.
Yeah, I do like
Rodman's how he still changed a little his name. Meta World Peace.
Yeah, yeah, Meta World Peace. I noticed that that guy who plays for the Celtics, Cantor, Enes Cantor?
Oh, Enes Freedom. Now he's like going on Fox News.
I don't know how
we should fear China.
Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Okay. I definitely just sold his card.
Somebody bought an Enes Cantor card.
Someone bought an
Enes Freedom.
Enes Cantor Freedom. Red, white, and blue prism. And I don't get into the politics. So I didn't care about what he was talking about. I just knew he was.
I don't care either.
Criticizing LeBron.
He was criticizing LeBron about China.
Yeah. And he changed his name to Freedom. And the card I happen to have is a red, white, and blue prism. It was just good luck. It just sold tonight, actually.
I'm sure somebody was looking for it, but
yesterday or something.
I don't care. I don't really care what, you know, he can do whatever he wants, but I do think his name change, like, I feel like Ron Artest's name change was to like shed himself of like that person he once was.
Yeah.
And like one, like world peace, you know, like it's, you know, I think it's something like I'm now a peaceful person. Like I've dealt with my demons and now like this is who I am now. We're like Enes Freedom is just like a branding thing. He's like gonna try to be a politician. He's gonna be on Fox News. Like he's gonna be on other news outlets.
Carlson.
No, he's gonna just be like he's definitely yeah, exactly. And the fact that he's going to be a huge grifter. He's going to
gonna
use this to become in the political world and make money, because it seems as though like anybody in the political world is just in it to make money on every side, side. So like, he definitely wants a part of that pie. All power to you.
Yeah.
Mr. Freedom. But yeah, I mean, he did it for a total branding thing.
I guess, you know, he's becoming an American citizen and
he sees that grift. He sees that grift and he knows exactly how to manipulate it. And he's a smart guy.
look, isn't it the American way to sort of use one job to propel yourself into another one?
Absolutely.
Like, you know,
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it's, I think it's smart. I think workers should always try to do, you know, whatever they can to make themselves the most money. What is Dak doing?
I don't know why they're throwing the ball over the field. Give it to Elliott. I just need 11 more yards.
Ezekiel Stinn.
Well, wow, this has been a range. What a conversation tonight. I feel like we really we had a lot of defenses.
You actually talked about defenses for a while.
I know. This is like your favorite show ever, probably.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely gonna listen to this one quite a bit.
We talked about Edith's freedom, Edith's cancer freedom.
Is it cancer freedom? Is it like hyphenated?
I don't know. I think
what is he throwing to? What is this? What are these routes? What is going on?
Just give it to Zeke for 11 more. They're clearly not gonna. I need the Saints to tie this up to 4-0.
They're not going to either. No. I think you're fucked. I think you're fucked, my guy.
My props are fucked.
Yeah, you're propless.
Oh fuck. Well, I'll think I'll think harder on a better prop for Sunday, and hopefully you can double my money again
and lose all that money that you won last week.
Well, I already got these bets going for the end of the year. These this Brady bet and this I think it's I have money on the Packers and on the Cowboys to win the Super Bowl. Obviously,
Packers
only one,
and the Cowboys. I don't think I don't think the Cowboys are going to win.
No, I don't think so either. But I placed that bet.
I think the Packers definitely have a chance.
Yeah.
I like the Cardinals. I like the Bills. I don't know if I like Tennessee without Derrick Henry. With Derrick Henry, I like Tennessee, especially if AJ Brown's back too.
I'm just trying to call, you know, call the shot now, you know, like there's the odds.
You
are
can
decent.
Still get good odds. Right.
You
now.
Can, you know, and I think the Packers seem to be the way to go this week, but that changes every week. Basically.
I'm trying to think of a dark horse who I would like to like, maybe like at this point.
Your butt's a dark horse.
It is. Oh man,
Colts.
Nah,
they might not even make the playoffs.
I would go with the Colts. I think that's a good one. Absolutely.
Colts to make the playoffs would be a good one. I thought about that a couple weeks ago and I didn't pull the trigger.
Or maybe
they have a tough schedule. Remaining schedule. Yeah. I do wish I pulled the trigger on the Vikings in the playoffs bet a couple weeks ago when I was looking at that had good odds. It doesn't really anymore, but that would have been a good bet. But I kind of struggle with the ones that take a few months, especially when you can just bet on that week and get your fix. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I think. I like the Colts. Like I'm surprised. I keep on like getting surprised they lose a game, but then I see Frank Reich not putting their best player on the field, and I'm like, oh, okay, this is why you're losing games.
I think they're a good team. I don't know that they're going to make the playoffs. I think they have a tough schedule down the stretch, and they're 6-6 now, and it's a bunch of teams in the West that could still strike. I think the Raiders are out, I would consider, but who knows? I really want the Chargers to make the playoffs. Don't know if it's going to happen. I looked at that.
I like them.
Too.
Oh.
And that's intercepted.
Another one?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, I was wondering what... because I'm playing...
I'm excited to see the
Patton. I'm playing Patton. Okay. And Dallas, he has Dallas's defense and Taysom Hill though too.
Oh yeah.
So for every interception, they're just kind of trading back and forth.
Yeah, here, you take this 2 points. Yeah, no, you take these 2 points.
And it's not a totally bad strategy, but now Taysom Hill only has 16.6, but Dallas has 12.
it's a low ceiling, you know, high floor, low ceiling kind of thing with that, you know, like you're not going to get negatives. But yeah, good chat tonight. This has this has been fun.
It's been enlightening.
It's been enlightening. It's been refreshing. We did miss another week. I feel like now we can't even brag about our record. Fuck. But I mean, it was Thanksgiving week.
Yeah, two's not bad.
And it,
I mean, forgot, honestly.
I mean, it was Thanksgiving week.
Yeah,
I mean,
it was, and it was like Thursday, Friday is usually the day we do it. And it was like Thanksgiving and the day after, you're doing stuff with family and stuff.
Hard to cram in a lot of stuff. I really want to see the Bengals.
Bengals making the playoffs would be fun.
The Bungles, you know, the Cincinnati Bengals. I want to see them in the playoffs. I want to see my boy Joey B.
Yeah,
really throwing some TDs.
I like his swag.
I do too. I think he's awesome.
He seems like a cool dude. He seems like really like just super chill and just like, and he seems just like really smart and just like, okay, this is what I need to do to win.
Yeah, I can't miss. I can't miss kind of quarterback.
He's just really, really good. Like, I think he could be a guy you could potentially steal, you know, like from somebody and keep or something like that in the offseason maybe. But like, that's the thing is they have Mixon. Mixon's been so good. So it kind of limits his, at least fantasy value.
Yeah. I mean, Mixon isn't going to be, you know, he's not going to score that kind, those kind of touchdowns. And I mean, he's great and everything, but you know, even Jonathan Taylor last week had like a down week because the game plan just really wasn't in his favor. I mean, these games are going to come and then
he still almost had 20 fantasy points.
Right. Yeah. No, Taylor's great. Well, great, great chat here tonight.
Oh, we're still doing the show? Take that bullshit. Turn it into good shit.